In Play Radio. From a 12-round war to knocking the Aussies for four. We've got it covered.
It's time to look forward to the Cricket World Cup in the company of former England one-dayer Anthony McGrath. Looking forward to England's first match, and we're going to have a chat about some of the outright betting on the tournament as well. Starts, of course, on Valentine's Day at UK time and runs right through until the end of March. Some tour this, Anthony, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it seems to go on for an age, doesn't it? And yeah. There's, I think, 42 games or something like that. So it won't hot up, I don't think, till the quarter-final stages, but there's a lot of cricket to get through. And obviously the so-called big nations will be hoping that there's no upsets at all in this tournament.
Yeah, definitely. We've seen a few, actually, haven't we, in passing, in this and in the 2020 World Cup, in the shorter form of the game. It is possible. Less possible in this form of the game, you'd say, though, because, you know, you've got longer to get yourself out of trouble, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. The 2020 always throws up one. I mean, we have seen it in history, but it's getting more and more rare these days. But teams like, you know, Bangladesh from a few years ago, they've really come on. Zimbabwe are getting a little bit better, and as we've seen in the past, Ireland and Scotland have also thrown in a few surprises. But you'd expect the better teams, as you say, over 50 overs. You know, they have more time to recover and get it right, and normally just get over the line.
Yeah. Let's have a look at the outright betting then for the tournament as a whole. We go right down from Australia as the favourites to UAE as the rank outsiders with Scotland. Australia are 2-1, South Africa 3-1, New Zealand 5-1, England are 10-1. India, same price. Then Sri Lanka at 14-1. Pakistan, 16-1. The West Indies, 25. And then you jump up to the triple figure prices. Let's start with Australia, shall we? I mean, they're the favourites, and they're on obviously on home turf. The depth of the squad's obviously good. The bowling attack looks very good as well. No spinner, I suppose. I mean, is that the only weakness you can find here? Maybe the few injuries kicking about as well?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, they're that short for a reason, aren't they? Because they've been fantastic, and especially in their own backyard. It does play into their strengths. I think you're right, one of their weaknesses is spin in this form of the game. They kind of mix it around with Xavier Doherty. Glenn Maxwell bowls a little bit of spin, but it's the pace, the bowlers they've got. I mean, even the warm-up games, they rested Mitchell Johnson, there was no problem. With him missing people like Pat Cummins, Mitchell Stark, who's put pace on and swinging the ball, Josh Hazlewood, Mitchell Marsh can bowl seam. I know there's an injury to James Faulkner. They've got Shane Watson who can bowl. It's incredible, really. They really have a good balance. Yes, them possibly Michael Clarke could have an injury-plagued tournament. We know what's been happening with his kind of back and hamstrings, but they've still got so much strength. They really have, all the way down, and the batting's incredible as well. So dynamic up front, and can hit the boundaries on any ground.
Yeah, South Africa. Have a look at them. Them next, 3-1. The problem with South Africa is they're one of those teams that they're just rubbish in knockout tournaments. I say rubbish, obviously I'm being flippant with that, but you know, they're one of those teams who don't ever seem to get it done, do they? Despite the fact that they're probably the most consistent one-day team?
They are. I mean, in tournament matches, they do have this tag of chokers. I think they've only got to the semi-finals, and how they've not made it to finals before is incredible from the positions they've been in games. But again, very well-balanced team. Fantastic batters, good pace in Markle and Steyn, backed up with Philander as well, and we all know what AB de Villiers have done recently. I just think it'll be too much for them though in Australia, I really do. But I think they'll make it to the quarterfinals easily, but as you say, once it gets to the knockout stages, probably semi-final could be their limit this time again.
Yeah, New Zealand next in the betting then at 5-1. Good batting, you know, excellent bowling with the new ball, you'd say. Again, a little bit like South Africa. When you get into the big games, do you always sense they've got a little bit of a weakness there?
Yeah, but I mean, I really fancy New Zealand. Again, they're going to be playing all their group games at home. And normally, if I was tipping up New Zealand, you'd say look for one of the dark horses and it'd be New Zealand. But they're quite rightly one of the favourites. I think they've won four in the last five. Brendan McCullum's a fantastic leader, and they've always probably been a team with four or five really good players, and the rest of the squad's let them down. But I think the bowling they've got now, young Adam Mills coming in, he's bowling as fast as anyone in the world. You know, they've Tim Southee, Trent Bolt, Daniel Vettori's back in. So they've really got a depth in the squad now. And the batting is really as strong as anyone. I mean, they've just beat New Zealand by, South Africa by nearly 200 runs in a warm-up game. Which is incredible, and they've absolutely wiped the floor with Sri Lanka as well. So I really fancy them to get to the final, and they could go on and win it and surprise a couple of people.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the kind of how long the group stages seem to go on for, but it is crucial. I mean, if they can win that group, it really does shake everything up in the other groups, doesn't it? And what you could do is you could almost engineer a meeting between, say, Australia and South Africa, which would knock out one of your major rivals. So it's crucial that you get off to a good start in these games, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I mean, how the pools are set out, it does give the bigger teams a chance to really get to the quarterfinals, and that's what the organisers want. So if you can win, like you say, a couple of your early games and get yourself to head of that table, it could really throw up some interesting fixtures from the quarterfinal onwards.
Yeah. Next in the betting, let's have a look at England, 10-1. I'm reading a couple of previews, and some people are kind of just almost whispering that England could be the value here. I mean, we know that England are are very good with the new ball, probably not so good with the old ball.
Yeah.
And that's the issue, isn't it? Being able to kill off a match, if you like.
They've showed signs since Sri Lanka that they're getting better. I were quite upbeat about them when they got to Australia. I thought they might beat Australia in a couple of warm-up games, and that may be a problem, just that psychological advantage of not getting over against the big teams. They've got the players there, and I think the batting looks better. It looks better balanced, with Ali and Bell going up front. But again, no real spinner. James Treadwell's not played much. Moeen Ali is an all-rounder, but you wouldn't say he's a first-choice spinner. And I think once you get away from James Anderson and Stuart Broad, and Broad's not been in great form, they just can't seem to tie the teams down in that middle of the innings. And then at the end of the innings, they've been getting hit to all parts, and that's a real worry for me, especially in Australia with the wickets that are so good. Look, any team can beat anyone on any given day, and all England can do is get to the quarter final and hope they have some momentum and avoid your Australia's and South Africa's, and hope to sneak through, because then yes, you've got a chance. But if we're going on form, I expect England to get to quarter final no better than that.
Yeah, the champions are the same price as England at 10-1. India, we know about the batting order. The form and fitness are a worry, and they don't do too well down under, do they, India?
No. They've been poor, I think, all winter in Australia. And again, away from their own country, they've shown signs of improvement, but they're a shadow of themselves, and especially in Australia with the bounce of the pitches. And I just wonder if there's a few things going on behind the scenes, because they've not got a settled team. As you say, there's a lot of injuries, and they just don't look like a team unit at all. And when they have that, India, they just look a bit frenetic and don't look like a team who can get any consistency. So for that reason, I'd have to rule India out.
Yeah. Would you put a line through, this might be too simplistic, but Sri Lanka, Pakistan, the conditions don't really suit. And to be fair, neither of those nations are in particularly great form, despite Sri Lanka's, just list the names still, and the world-class players. But it's such a big thing, isn't it, where you play. It's not like football, where you're playing a patch of grass and it doesn't tend to matter as much, apart from the heat. This is a different thing altogether for these nations, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, playing in the subcontinent, you'd always say Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka are going to be a threat, because that's what they're used to playing. And similarly, in England, over our way, you'd say England have a chance, and then Australia. Conditions are massive, and pace and bounce is one thing the subcontinent players don't like, and that's what you're going to get in Australia predominantly. So, and the other thing, again, the form, like you said, that no one's coming into it with any form, really. Out of the three sides, India, Pakistan and Sri Lanka, I'd probably have to put Sri Lanka at the top of that simply because, you know, the players we've mentioned with Sangakkara, etc. But I can't see any of them threatening to win the tournament. I just can't see it.
No, I feel duty-bound to include the West Indies in this chat we're having, just because it's the West Indies. But yeah. 25-1, I mean, you know, Gale apart, there's really little to be positive about here. I mean, there's all sorts going on behind the scenes, isn't there, as usual?
It's just, I mean, reading some of the stories, it really is incredible. You just think, you know, why are they actually bothering playing cricket? It just seems to be so political, and, you know, players getting involved and getting on the West Indians cricket board's back and vice versa. So, I mean, they're such a dangerous team.
Yeah, dangerous. And on their given day, but how many days can they have?
Exactly. And you mentioned it at the first piece. It's over, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks. And I just don't think West Indies can keep consistent off the field for that long.
Yeah, can you imagine there being a few rows on the way?
Yeah, I mean, they might have 3 or 4 players sent home by then. You just never know. So
amongst these markets, I bet there's a special on that somewhere. Yeah. I can't find it, but there may well be. Yeah, that would be one I might suggest that. There are a lot of specials, by the way, on the cricket pages, if you want to have a look at those alongside the outright. So which nation's getting your pick? Have you got a favourite, an outsider, or are you just going for a straight favourite to win it?
I'm going to go New Zealand.
Right, yeah.
I really do fancy them, and I think given that they've got home advantage in the group, between them and Australia, definitely Australia favourites for that reason. But I like New Zealand at 5-1. I think they can have a really good tournament, and if the draw's good to them, you know, I think they can win it.
Yeah, loads and loads of outright markets available on the tournament. If you're looking at these, too many for us to go through here, but you've got total tournament sixes, the highest team innings score. You've got tournament specials for every single team involved as well. You can back players, teams to reach the semi-finals and the final, etc., etc., etc. We're just going to have a quick look at the top tournament batsman and the top tournament bowler in this podcast. Let's start with batsman. Hashim Amla is 7-1. David Warner is 9-1. AB de Villiers is 12-1. So is Kane Williamson. Brendan McCullum 14. Darren Finch 16-1. Rohit Sharma is 16-1 as well. Same price for Stephen Smith and Virat Kohli. Then you get up to 20-1. Ian Bell is there with Kumar Sangakkara, Quinton de Kock and Chris Gayle. Faf du Plessis, Shane Watson, and I could go on. Dilshan's also 25s, and you get up to 33s. Bit of value there, isn't there? And see, to be fair, if you can pick the right one, obviously. I mean, you've got you can have an each way bet on this as well. Quarter of the odds for a place in the top five. So, you know, with some decent prices, you know, if you're getting a 20-1 shot, you're still getting a 5-1 for a place in the top five, which isn't bad.
No, I mean, there's some fantastic batsmen on show, there really is, but I think if you're looking at this market, you've got to take into account what team are going to go to the latter stages and what team you think are going to go, you know, semi-final and beyond. And I'm going to pick two in this market. The first one is Kane Williamson at 12-1. He's been in incredible form for New Zealand over the last couple of years, and in 2014 he took his average from mid-30s to mid-40s, up 10, which is incredible. Bats at number 3, 4, scores at a good rate, very, very consistent, good player in New Zealand. And as I said, I think New Zealand will get go all the way, so I think at 12-1, he is fantastic value.
Who's the other one?
And the other one's Steve Smith, 16-1. Again, Australia, been in fantastic form. Hasn't been burdened by the extra responsibility as Test captain. In fact, it's improved his form. And I think with injury doubts to Michael Clarke, a bit to Shane Watson, I think Steve Smith will play every game, expect again Australia to get to the last stages. He bats in a position where he can manipulate the ball in the middle overs and also good hitting boundaries at the death. So Kane Williamson 12-1, Steve Smith 16-1.
Yeah, just to give you an idea, in the last World Cup, you can check all these stats out yourselves, but the top five, it went from, you know, I think Dilshan was the top scorer, 500. The fifth best was Taranga for Sri Lanka with 395, so quite a big difference in runs there, you know, 105 runs difference between the top and the fifth, if you're looking for an each-way bet. The top bowler market sees Mitchell Starc at 9-1 as the the favourite. Dale Steyn is 10-1, so is Mitchell Johnson. Malinga is 14-1. Morning Morkel is 14s as well. James Anderson, first England player, is 18-1. Imran Tahir, Mitchell McLennigan, and Tim Southey are all 20-1. Then you get Trent Bolt at 28s, and 25s and 28-1 and bigger the rest of them. Again, each way odds available. Quarter of the odds for a place in the top five list. What are you thinking here?
Well, a man I kind of tipped up in the tri-series between Australia, India and England, Mitchell Starc. Mm. Quite rightly at the top of the market. 9-1 is still a fantastic price. Again, he's going to play every game. He's put pace on his bowling, early 90 mile an hour, swings the ball left arm, and he's been picking up wickets galore and bowling at the start of the innings. Remember, there's two new balls in this competition, so it does swing a bit more than normal, and he also bowls at the end. He's got a great yorker. And I think at 9-1, he really is great value, especially with Mitchell Johnson. He's just come back from kind of a layoff, a little bit of injury, and I just think he's getting better and better. And this tournament set up for him, I think he's a really good pick at 9-1.
Looking back to 2011, Shahid Afridi was the leading wicket taker alongside Zaheer Khan, but Afridi only played 8 matches compared to Khan's 9. They both took 21 wickets, but the 5th place, Yuvraj Singh, took 15 in his 9 matches. So, you know, if you're thinking about an each way bet, you know, 15's very achievable, isn't it, Anthony?
Yeah, it is. I mean, normally I would go for a spinner in this market, but with it being Australia and New Zealand, that's why I seem another man I like at 25-1, which again, you mentioned the each way market, is Trent Bolt for New Zealand. The two New Zealand bowlers are like a Trent Bolt at 25-1. He's been in the team now a few years. Real consistent performer. Again, bowls well in New Zealand conditions. And I think if he can get wickets early on and get a tally up, he's going to be in that kind of top five region. So 25-1, I think, again, is good value. And the man I go for an outside pick in this market is Adam Milne. A lot of people might not have seen him, but this kid's 22-year-old, he bowls as fast as Mitchell Johnson, and he's just blown away Sri Lanka. And again, if he can stay fit and he gets, you know, 3, 4, 5 wickets in his first few games, which he has been doing, he could be a real find for New Zealand. And I think 50-1 is incredible price for him.
So it's with those each way terms, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Really good.
It's something I'd definitely look at. So the three really there, Mitchell Starc, who for me is the favourite for that reason, and then Trent Bolt and Adam Milne of New Zealand.
Let's have a look at the first matches then, shall we? We'll start with Australia-England. This one takes place at 3:30 a.m. In the morning UK time on Saturday the 14th of February. Australia are 4-11, England are 11-5. We've got headline offers galore here. Australia to win and to hit most sixes is even money. David Warner, top Australian bat, and Australia win is 5-1. And Mitchell Johnson is the top Australia bowler, and Australia to win is 4-1. England to win, hit most sixes, is 6-1. Ian Bell to top bat in a win is 10-1, and Jimmy Anderson to top bowl in a England win is 8-1. Plenty of markets here. I suppose the favourites, because it's not so long ago, obviously, that they were beaten by 112 runs in Perth. I mean, on the face of it, that's a bad defeat. But if you take it in two sections, the bowling and the batting, there was quite a stark difference in England's performance there, wasn't it?
There was, yeah. And look, the run them close. England run Australia close down in Tasmania. They've shown signs of, but they just haven't been able to get over the line. So I don't think there's a bigger gap as people think between the teams. But I just think at the moment Australia is so confident. They know exactly what they're doing, all their team. And I think England are a little bit intimidated by them. So I still expect Australia to win this game, and maybe not as comfortable as everyone thinks. I think there'll be a few nerves, given it being the first game from everyone and the huge expectation on Australia's back. But I think Australia will win.
Mm. Anyone who's heard won't be surprised by this either. Jeffrey Boycott said his say about Owen Morgan, hasn't he, recently? Not unlike Jeffrey Boycott to do that. I think Michael Vaughan's kind of counteracted that and been a little bit more measured in his approach. Just to get in on the act, the reason I mention it, as well as to get your thoughts, Anthony, is that there's a special on Owen Morgan to be out for a duck at 8-1. That's like the manager markets in football, but betting on someone to lose the job.
That's right.
But he does need to get some form in all seriousness, because it won't be a couple more bad scores and the media, that's all the media will want to talk about.
Yeah, and we know what happened to Alistair Cook.
Exactly.
It was more from his not getting runs than his captaincy were questioned. And as captain, first and foremost, you have to perform. Whether you're a batter or a bowler, you have to get wickets or get runs. And Owen Morgan at the moment is probably putting in one good innings out of 5, 6, 7, which you can't have that as a captain. And like you say, the media will be are starting to be all over him. If England start to lose, then there'll be even more pressure. So he really does need to get some runs, at least just to take a bit of pressure off himself.
Mm. The top batsman bowler markets. We'll start with England. I mean, Morgan himself is 11-2. You've got Ian Bell at 100-30. James Taylor's 4-1. So is Joe Root and Moeen Ali. Bell and Morgan. To be fair to Morgan, he did hit a century in the Tri Series, didn't he? Bell. If you look at the odds, then Morgan's got to be a better bet than Bell, despite the fact that what we've got at the minute in terms of his form and all the controversy about him. I guess it depends on whether he can, what sort of character he is. Can he weather out this bit of pressure from the media and post a big score?
Yeah, I mean, character-wise, he is quite a level-headed, humble kind of guy. So I don't think he'll be too up and down. I just think for more, the media and people around him, he need that for a bit of confidence more than anything. But the man I like in this market is Joe Root at 4-1. He showed signs in the Tri-Series, of really hitting top form. He got 80-odd the other day in a warm-up match. And the position he bats, I think, is key for England. Comes in that middle order, and he's got a real good head on his shoulders for a young guy. And I think if England are going to go far in this tournament, they'll need the middle order players to play well. So I think top England batsman Joe Root, 4-1, is a good pick.
The Aussies, the obvious men are at the top of the order here, top of the betting. David Warner, 11-4. Stephen Smith, 3-1. Aaron Finch, 4-1. Shane Watson, 9-2. George Bailey, 13-2. Glenn Maxwell, interesting one. He hit, 90-odd off 98 balls, 95 off 98 balls, I think it was, not so long ago, 9-1. With England's bowling attack and the fact that they are so good with the new ball, would you be brave enough to rule out the top order?
I don't think you can, because Warner and Finch are fantastic. Warner's been in unbelievable form as well. Again, he's had a couple of injuries, but like you say, probably if England are going to do anything, it will be with that new ball. The man I like, the one thing putting me off is where he bats, and that's Glenn Maxwell at 9-1. As you say, man of the match in the Tri-Series final. He doesn't need many balls to get a big score. He did it the other day in the warm-up match. It's just whether he gets in. I mean, he could bat as low as 7 sometimes, but for 9-1 for a man of his capabilities, it really is a big price. But the other man I like, I've mentioned before, Steve Smith, he's only 3-1. But again, if you think in England they're going to get a couple of wickets at the top of the order, again, he's in fantastic form. And maybe a bet on both. If Steve Smith doesn't come in at 3-1, you've got the luxury of Glenn Maxwell at 9-1, which is a big, big price, down the order.
Yeah, very nice. Have you any thoughts on the bowlers, the top bowlers for each side here? Mitchell Johnson, 5-2 favourite. Starks, 11-4. You've already talked about, in the tournament, top bowling, of course. Hazelwood's 100-30. Faulkner's in and betting, but probably won't play. I guess if he doesn't play, Mitchell Marsh will come in.
Yeah.
More than likely, he's 13-2.
Well, I think we've gone over the Australian one. I think Mitchell Stark again. I really do. I just think he's in great form. And then England, again, you've mentioned it. England, if England are going to do anything in this tournament, James Anderson has to have a big tournament.
Yeah.
And he's quite clearly England's best bowler, and he's at 5-2, favourite in the market for a reason. And like you say, with the two new balls and how he bowls up front, he has to have a big tournament, so I'd plumb for Jimmy Anderson.
Let's have a look at New Zealand versus Sri Lanka at the Cricket World Cup. This is a 10 p.m. Match. I'm looking forward to this one, actually, as the opener. New Zealand are 4-9, and Sri Lanka are priced up at 7-4 here. Christchurch is where this is being played, so obviously everything in the host's favour. And you would say, if it's not too simplistic, Anthony, against Sri Lanka. I mean, you know, if Sangakkara has been in good nick. Seems daft saying this, but his consistency is questionable at times, isn't it? If he doesn't fire, it's unlikely Sri Lanka are going to fire, I guess is what I'm going to say. And I think New Zealand seem to have more players in good form, and they've got the home advantage as well.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. You know, they've got just played them recently in the Test and in the One Dayers and beat them comfortably, so they've got that momentum going in. If this game were being played in Sri Lanka, I'd be saying Sri Lanka will win this given the makeup of their team. But everything we've spoke about, home advantage, the only thing for New Zealand, and I think you touched on it earlier, is how they handle this as a team, because they're not used to playing in the big matches and being at home. Now people are talking about them, how well they're playing is the expectation of the nation on them. They've got quite a young side, and it's if they can handle that. I think Brendan McCullum touched on it in his press conference about how they're going to handle this through the tournament. That's the only question for me with New Zealand. There could be a few nerves about, given it being the first game, but I still expect New Zealand to win this. And the market I like in this, and because he's a great leader, being in good form, I like Brendan McCullum to be top scorer and New Zealand to win. The headline offer, 5-1. I think that's incredible.
Yeah, it does look a good one, doesn't it? It's hard to go against McCullum, isn't it? You know, the form he's shown so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about Kane Williamson being leading run scorer for the tournament, but on any given day, McCullum, again, he can peel off 100, you know, in 50, 60 balls, and he likes the big occasion. I just think with it being the opening game, he'll want to lead from the front. I think New Zealand are probably a bit too short to back on their own at 4-9, but if you chuck Brendan McCullum in and then you've got 5-1, I just think that's unbelievable.
Let's have a look at India versus Pakistan. This one's 3:30 in the morning on the 15th of February, UK time, of course. India, the champions, 4-7, open up their defence against Pakistan. What a game to start for both of these teams. Virat Kohli, top India bat, and India to win. 5-1 is the headline offer. Yunus Khan, top Pakistan bat, and Pakistan to win. 8-1, the headline offer for Pakistan. Obviously, all the usual markets as well. In the preview of the tournament, Anthony, you were talking about the fact that, you know, we're not quite sure what's going on with India. You know, they've kind of almost been in lockdown, haven't they? You don't know if all's good, if all's not good. I mean, and you probably could say the same for Pakistan at any given time as well. You know, if we knew where the two camps were mentally, it'd help us a lot in this one. But it picks up, I mean, a massive shock if Pakistan beat India here, wouldn't it?
I can't pick this game simply just because exactly what you've said. We don't know what's going on with both teams. And I suppose in some way that makes them both dangerous. You know, we know they've got individuals who are fantastic players, but it really is a tough one to pick. And having seen more of India than Pakistan over recent times, I couldn't back India at 4-7 in this game. If you had to, you know, sway one or the other, I'd take Pakistan at 11-8 simply because, one, it's a good price, but India have looked an absolute shambolic outfit. Pakistan have just beaten England in a warm-up game. I know warm-up games are not everything, but I think 11-8, I was surprised by that price, I really was. So I think I'd be going for Pakistan in this game.
I was reading a preview on Crick Info, and they were talking about, you know, who could trouble India if there are any nerves about it, if there are any problems, and they were talking about Mohammad Irfan maybe being the one bowler who could really upset these Indian batsmen. Pakistan need some really, really world class performances on the day, would you say? To despite the fact that, you know, it's a decent price for them to win it, they need to perform really well, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and you know. If you go back a few months, you'd probably say India nine times out of ten in this fixture, but I just think there's something going on in the India camp, and for all their fantastic players, they just don't look like they can get it together. So I think, given the history between the, you know, the two nations as well, this is really is a grudge game. I think the Pakistanis will be more up for it as well. And even though they've got not the bigger names as India, I just think that's why they'll edge this one. Yes, you look at you know, Shahid Afridi, probably Yunis Khan, who've got the real experience. But Mohammed Irfan, you mentioned there, I think he can do well in Australia conditions. Wyatt Bryars as well is a little bit unproven, but again, can be dangerous. And I just think, you know, Pakistan, I don't think either of these teams are going to trouble to be a winner, but I think both should make it through to the quarterfinals.
Loads of markets on that match. The team totals, player totals. You can back things like the individual players' total runs. There's man of the match betting, the wicket betting as well, and which is the highest opening partnership. And under the other markets, you get the first over score, first dismissal method, highest opening partnership, etc., etc. So plenty to bet on each of the individual matches. The other games that are over the next couple of days, as we record this, are South Africa, Zimbabwe. South Africa 1-20 favourites there, and West Indies 1-4 favourites to beat the Irish, who do love an upset, don't they, in the shorter form. But again, more likely in the 2020 than anything else. They're 3-1 to beat the West Indies, which would be a hell of a start for Ireland, wouldn't it, to be fair?
It would, yeah. And
should they be bigger than that, do you think? I mean, is 3-1 even big enough, do you think, for Ireland?
Probably not.
Not a million miles away from, you know, I mean, I know Sri Lanka, you know, kind of 2-1, but,
yeah.
You know.
No, I think that price reflects where West Indies are at.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, they just don't know who's going to turn up. I mean, in the warm-up match the other day, Scotland had them in real problems and didn't lose by many in the end. So people are probably looking at that and thinking, you know what, if there's going to be an upset, maybe West Indies early on. It could be the one, because if West Indies lose that game, there could be fireworks, couldn't they? I'd like to say they could be going home and players leaving. So yeah, I think it would normally be about 5-6-1 for Ireland, but maybe there's been a few shrewd people getting on Ireland.
Yeah, a few euros from over the water on the Irish win there. Anthony, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking to Anthony McGrath throughout the Cricket World Cup as we look forward to these matches in the early hours. If you're staying up, then good luck for the next 6 or 7 weeks. You might not survive it if you stay up every night. But matches obviously at 10 p.m., 1 a.m. and 3:30 in the morning, and they will be all in play on the website from William Hill as well. Anthony, we'll speak to you again soon. Enjoy England, Australia.
Cheers, Luke.
Yeah, thanks very much to Anthony there. Don't forget, build up to all these matches on inplayradio.co.uk. We'll be talking to Anthony and the cricket traders from William Hill throughout the tournament. Make sure you check that Cricket World Cup page. Give yourself a good bit of time to look at it as well, because there are some fantastic markets. 20 outright markets, 33 markets on the match betting as well, and some tasty little specials. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you're having a bet on any of the matches, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.